Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Season, as Lincoln used to say, the bee in the bonnet, or throw your hat in the ring, or what they said about Thomas E. Dewey, he threw his diaper in the ring. We'll get into some interesting presidential anecdotes that I put together for a class at some classes in the school districts here in Northern California, and we'll revive some of that substance. It is appropriate. Interesting day today. Some of the birthdays, we have some, let's deal with the events. Or no, we'll deal with the birthdays. E.I. DuPont is a French Huguenot who was born in France and worked with Lavoisier learning chemistry. It's a famous name in French chemistry. He survived the French Revolution, emigrated to the United States legally, I guess you could say, even in those days, and went to Delaware, which is actually that's the biggest industry, and I think it's a chicken industry in Delaware. I don't know if the two are mixed with chemicals and chickens, considering some of the things they've been putting in injections into chickens. Anyway, the DuPont Company is one of the, and the family is one of the richest in the United States, and they've also been involved in politics, and we hear they run the state of Delaware. Anyway, in fact, they had a governor, Pierre DuPont. We shared the same birthday, and he was from the DuPont family. During the War of 1812, the DuPont provided munitions for the United States, and they built into a huge chemical combine, one of the largest in the world. I think they were only surpassed by the IG Farben, which was a Jewish-owned chemical company in Germany and in Nazi Germany, and even people with a Jewish heritage, Jewish background, we don't know if they practice, they produced the infamous Zyklon B, which was used in the notorious showers in the concentration camps. Anyway, DuPont had a connection with General Motors, and the U.S. Justice Department had a very long antitrust action to try to separate DuPont de Nemours from General Motors. in the relationship. It was a monopolistic. And finally, there was the severance, but it was a long, drawn-out battle, which the U.S. Justice Department finally won. I think it was about 30, 35 years ago. Also on this day, those of you who go to Catholic universities, the Catholic Archbishop named John Hughes founded Fordham University, and it's got a connection to the Steve Nery case, which we'll get into. There's been some interesting new developments which affect every U.S. Military service man and woman. The judge in one of the Steve Nery cases, habeas corpus case, Marilyn Hall Patel, she attended Fordham Law School. She's from New York. She's Jewish and married, and get this, an Indian. So we got a precursor to the Wiener situation. Also on this day, we had Gustavus Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, which was one of the factors in the American Civil War. She was born today. We have interesting meatpacker, Gustavus Swift. He was the English family, but he was from Massachusetts. And like a lot of the meatpackers of the time, Swift, Armour, Hormel, they moved to the Midwest, and in particular Chicago. Swift was one of the biggest meatpackers in the world. Gustavus Swift was one of the pioneers of the refrigerated ice car, which allowed them to slaughter beef and cattle and pigs in one area of the country and ship them by rail so they wouldn't spoil or get burned to another part of the country. And he was quite an entrepreneur. He discovered ways to turn animal byproducts into medicine, chemicals, all that sort of thing, and oleomargarine, which is interesting because for many years, oleomargarine, which was phony butter, some people called it, was banned in the state of Wisconsin. So what happened was that gas stations on the Illinois side of the border would also sell oleomargarine, which was banned in Wisconsin. So people in Wisconsin who couldn't afford butter but needed gas also got phony margarine or phony butter on the Illinois side of the Wisconsin border. And I guess Wisconsin finally gave in because Wisconsin is known as the dairy state. One of the great writers was born today. He also worked for the Hearst family at one time, the Hearst Publications, Ambrose Bierce. And I think there's a movie starring Gregory Peck about the old gringo. I think that's the name of the movie. He was born today. And this is one of the myths about gay military people or people who were gay in the world's military. One of the great generals of the British Army during the Boer War, the South African War, and also in World War I, he died on a cruiser bringing gold to Russia to keep the Russians into the war in World War I. Lord Horatio Kitchener was born today in 1850, and he was gay. He had an aide-de-camp who was known as Kitchener's boy. And so the British Army, even though it was sodomy and homosexuality was a capital offense, there was flogging in the British Navy and also hanging. British Army, I don't know what they did with it, but anyway, Lord Kitchener was gay, and he was the war minister for the Lord George's government in World War I. We'll get into more of these famous military men who were gay, and of course they didn't politicize their sexual preferences. This is the issue today with these Americans who are pushing successfully so far, don't ask, don't tell, or don't want to tell. And the whole issue is there have been gays and lesbians in the world's military since Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar and Philip of Macedonia, but they didn't politicize it, you know, make it a political or a religious or a sect thing. And there were homosexual priest sects who practiced these things. And of course, the monks in Henry VIII's time were accused of sodomy and all kinds of sins, and that was one of the excuses that Henry VIII used to close when he left the Catholic Church, became head of the Church of England. He closed the monasteries, took their wealth, and his excuse was they were engaged in sodomy. On this day also, Henry VIII was crowned King of England, and there's a brilliant series called The Tudors. He was one of the last of the Tudor dynasties, which were upstarts, originally Normans, who came over with William the Conqueror in 1066. But there's a series on TV, I think it's HBO, called The Tudors. Excellent and very well acted, and some famous actors, and there's a lot of accuracy there, things I didn't even know, and I'm a historian. Also today, we had another famous writer, Norman Cousins, who started the Saturday Review. He was born today. And then we had great boxer, Jack Dempsey, was born today in 1895. Those of you who are environmentalists, David McTaggart, the founder of Greenpeace, he was found born today in 1932. I forgot Pete Hamill, who wrote for the New York Post. He was born today. And when I was in Australia as a correspondent, I stayed with Greenpeacers, and they didn't eat meat and didn't drink coffee. I was going nuts, so I had to do that outside. But they were fun people to be with, and they do a lot of good, although they may be extreme. They're trying to protect the world's whales. Among the deaths today, and this will bring this up in our presidential anecdotes, Grover Cleveland died today in 1908. He was one of the first presidents to have a secret operation. He had cancer of the jaw. And, of course, one of the dirtiest political campaigns in U.S. history was during the time that he ran. And he had an illegitimate child, and Republicans had ran James G. Blaine, who was from Maine. His mother was Catholic, but he wasn't. And he was called, he was a I think a railroad lawyer, or had some connection with railroad skullduggery in those days. To be connected to the railroads was a license to steal. Anyway, the slogans of the time were, Ma, Ma, where's my pa? He's in the White House. Ha, ha, ha. That was the slander aimed at Grover Cleveland. The Democrats struck back with James G. Blaine, the biggest liar from the state of Maine. So it was interesting. We may see another dirty campaign come up in several months, in the unless things change. Excuse me. Still got this bloody cold. Also today, among the other deaths, famous German Jewish industrialist and the foreign minister after World War I, Dr. Walter Rathenau. He was an electrical engineer, founded a big electrical company. As a German Jew, and this is interesting, the pecking order of ethnicities, when you look at the Jewish people, Austrian and German Jews are at the high end. They're the most prestigious, and at the low end are the Sephardic. I mean, everybody's got these pecking orders. I don't care, you know, what ethnicity you are, that this is the way it is. It has been. I don't know if it should be, but these are realities. And anyway, he was the guy after World War I who made a deal, the Treaty of Rapallo, between Italy and, of all places, Stalin's Russia, which there were two parts to it. One of them was Germany had to pay reparations for allegedly starting World War I, and, of course, all the nations were involved, the Russians, the Serbia, France, England, Germany, and Italy. And Japan got in on some of the goodies in the Far East, the Marshall Islands and all of that. Anyway, he was responsible, get this, a German Jew who made a deal with Stalin's Russia to secretly rearm Germany and build aircraft in the Soviet Union. That's where it started, the rearmament of Germany, which came to the fore in World War II. He was assassinated mistakenly by right-wing Nazi types, and he also was opposed to Zionism, and there are Jews who are opposed to Zionism, which is politicized religion, and also socialism. He started the German Democratic Party, and he was assassinated on this date in 1922. Another famous death today, a lot of people thought Jackie Gleason was just a comedian and the Honeymooners. He was also a musician, and I think he did cut a few records with Frank Sinatra. So there are a lot of famous people who have done things, excuse me, and you would never know it, that they had all these other qualities. What's the other thing we want to talk about? Yeah, getting back to Gustavus Swift. Now, that company has been, I think Greyhound controls it today, if I'm not mistaken. But he was quite a guy. He also pioneered the assembly line method, which Henry Ford was looking at when he came to Chicago. Chicago used to be the meatpacking capital of the world, and you could smell the stockyards because the trains, it was also a major railroad hub in the United States because trains came from the west and the east. They came to the railroad center in Chicago and bringing cattle and pigs and all of that. And you could smell the Chicago stockyards for miles. And, in fact, there's an expression in Chicago and jargon, back of the yards. Now, this term was used for Richard Daley the First. He grew up only child in an Irish Catholic family. Oh, that's a bad term. But the term of the Irish ethnics who came to Chicago and grew up in that area around, I think it's after 30th Street, they called it back of the yards. And this was it's like growing up in Australia when you can point to your heritage and your ancestry and say, mine were transported. And like a lot of the Irish and the English poor people who got involved in petty crimes or the English aristocracy wanted to get rid of them, so they dumped them in Australia. And the book I keep referring to, and I highly recommend it because Australia is a great country, it's called The Fatal Shore, one of the best histories written about a country and how it was founded and how the effects of it today. Henry Ford learned, apparently, the assembly line method, which made it possible for Americans when he started that in Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, and Detroit, that they were able to quickly mass-produce quality cars, Ford Model T. And, of course, getting back to DuPont, what happened was that he had all these cars painted black. And when people said, well, I'd like another color, like blue or gray or silver, and he said, you get black. Now, DuPont de Nemours was a chemical company that also made solvents for paint. In the deal that they made with General Motors, now, General Motors was founded by Alfred P. Sloan. I don't know if he was a Jewish background, but he put together all these car inventors, Olds. They created Pontiac. Chevrolet was a French name. And Cadillac was their premier line, and then the trucks. So what Sloan did in his mass marketing, he provided different colors for the cars. And DuPont de Nemours was tied into the General Motors Corporation. They also made Frigidaires. Now, this is another presidential anecdote, and, of course, I'm jumping ahead here. But we have Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, was governor of Michigan, the Mormon connection, and he helped revitalize the Nash Rambler Corporation, which also produced Kelvinator refrigerators, which are pretty good refrigerators. But his presidential ambitions were torpedoed, if I can use that phrase, when he went to Vietnam and said, I was brainwashed, and he never got around that. And so Mitt's got a problem with, he's better be careful about what he says and say what he means and, don't mealy-mouth around that. We'll get into that Monday when we'll have our presidential anecdotes, and I'll take these are excerpts from the book that I wrote for the San Francisco Unified School District lectures that I gave on presidents. Among the other things today, this is Gay Pride Weekend in San Francisco. People are getting tired of the what I call crotch politics agenda. Nobody really cares, especially now, these hard economic times, what people do as consenting adults do in the privacy of their home, apartment, or trailer, whatever. They just don't like, as one old woman says, we don't like them doing it in the streets, scaring the horses and set the dogs a-barking. Among the political fictions is that a gay person or single person cannot have his partner, his lover, whatever, visit him in the hospital or make medical decisions or termination of life decisions for him. Now, that's not true. Look at it this way. Do you think, with all the malpractice suits that hospitals and doctors are hit with, do you think they're going to take a patient into a hospital and be stuck with making life and death medical decisions for them, for that patient, and bearing the full responsibility if something goes wrong? or they don't know what to do if the guy's hanging on before death, or the patient. Now, there is a form which we'll put up on the web that the hospitals use. It's a consent form, and it can be either two people have to witness it, or the hospital will notarize it, and the patient brings that in when he's admitted to the hospital, and so he's covered, or he or she's covered, for medical decisions or termination of life or whatever, or pull the tubes. But these gay propagandists have been pushing the canard, that promoting the canard that gay and lesbian people cannot visit their lovers in the hospital. It's not true. And, of course, you know, John Edwards was a lawyer who made a lot of money, became a millionaire, suing hospitals and doctors. So, in a way, he's kind of the father of this. And I think Americans are getting tired of crotch politics. One of the other big political frauds and fictions is Stonewall. Now, Stonewall was the name of a bar in New York's, I think, Greenwich Village, and it was allegedly owned by the mafia. And what they were doing was the New York ABC, Alcoholic Control Board, busted the bar for selling alcohol to underage kids. Now, in New York State, the drinking age is 18, and kids from New Jersey, Connecticut, and those who don't, and Vermont, those who don't go to Quebec, which is the drinking age, I think is still 18, used to go to New York. But the Stonewall Bar was serving and selling alcohol beverages to kids under 18, and there was a 17-year-old kid, Rivera, I think was his name, who they were going to bust him, and he started a riot, and he bragged about it. New York Times newspaper wrote about it. Well, he started the riot, and so the gay propagandists and politicos decided to use this as their rallying slogan. Well, what happened was he later decided he wanted to be a woman or female, got transgendered, caught AIDS, and died. And, of course, before he died, he confessed that he, in fact, that this whole thing was about selling illegal, buying liquor and drinking it when you were not 18 at the Stonewall Bar. Now, the fact of the matter is, I hate that phrase. The indisputable fact is in 1963, the state of Illinois passed very quietly at Mayor Richard Daley's prodding, well, actually his orders, because he controlled the Democratic Party in Illinois, a relative of his, and I was on the street when this happened, in Chicago's Rush Street District, which is nightclubs and a lot of gay activity. It's kind of like San Francisco's Castro Street. There was a police bust at that time of a wild party, and picked up by the police was a close relative of Mayor Richard Daley I. He was brought to the 18th precinct, which is in that area, police station, put in a separate room. When they learned his identity, his mother was called. She came down. She was furious, and she talked to Mayor Daley and said, "You got to do something about this." And I don't know if the kid is still gay. He's was a very high-ranking politician in the Democratic Party and public official. Anyway, what happened was Daley sent the word down to the Illinois State Legislature and his operatives in the legislature to quietly pass a law to permit sexual relations between people who are 18 or over. They didn't say anything about lesbianism. And I think the governor at the time was Otto Kerner, who later became a federal appellate judge. He's the author of the Kerner Report on civil unrest during the Johnson administration, all the race riots. Later became a federal appellate judge and was convicted of bribery when he was for his actions done when he was governor of Illinois. It might have been Samuel Skinner, who was his lieutenant governor, who succeeded him. I don't have my dates down exactly. Anyway, Skinner was the second Jewish governor of Illinois. The first one was Henry Horner. So there's a lot of interesting history. I'd like to get into this because you need to know the background of what's gone on, what is going on, what may go on. But I think what we should remember is during the 60s was a period of experimentation, drugs, what they call rubber sheet parties with oil, and a lot of things went on, and people, the song was Love the One You're With and Be Loved by the One You're With, and that crossed the gender barriers. And there was what I would describe as friendship, fun, and fraternity. There was none of this, you know, bullying that we see today by these what I call gay Ku Klux Klanners. But today, because of these people will not change their habits, they're still engaging in public toilet sex, promoting that. You see it in the magazines. Also, they spy on people in their showers, and you see the stuff on the web, these videos, which is one thing that may kill a lot of the access we have to the web. It's also an invasion of privacy. And there is this tampering with children in the schools, messing with kindergarten kids, pushing these agendas. Kids know more about a comma. Know more about a condom than they do about a comma. They're not able to use a condom, and they, you know, let kids be kids. So I would say today there is a growing fear, revulsion, and disgust with this political agenda. Now, personal protection, I'd like to get into this. We're seeing more and more, thanks to Rodney King, videotaping. I tell people, because there are lack of phones on the street, if you get in a car accident and you have to call the cops, there's no phone, you've got a problem. Get yourself a good working cell phone and use it properly. Don't be using it while you're driving. Also, get a camcorder, a little camcorder. They're cheap enough. Some of them are as cheap as $20. If you get in an accident or you get in an altercation or something that's going to cost you problems or you could get sued by, document it with a camcorder. Especially in an accident, because that'll help you settle your lawsuit or your claim with your insurance company or the other guys, the driver at fault's insurance company, when they have to pay your claim. So protect yourself. Information is power. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and does cost you. Excuse me. Now, let's see, what else are we going to say? And now the other thing is, I was talking to people who drive around the country, and I used to think it was just the crazies in California, because they used to say when you get out in California, it's freeway madness. But apparently there may be an epidemic of reckless driving going on around the country. It's an attitude of, I'm special, I'm driving expensive BMW, Volvos, Porsche, whatever, get out of my way. But apparently it's going on. People I talk to who've driven in the Northeast and in the Midwest, that's the same thing, that this is reckless driving. And when there are accidents, guess who pays and guess whose insurance rates go up? It's the safe driver. And why do you think you see all these BMWs, Mercedes, and Volvos? Guess what? People aren't buying them. And Mercedes had a problem, and BMW had a problem, and Audi. So what they did was they leased them. It's about $270 a month to lease one of these Beamers, and you see the damnedest people driving them who shouldn't be driving them and think that they're on the Autobahn in Germany. So that's why you see so many of these cars, and I see so much reckless driving, and people, especially women, they yak, yak, yak on their damn cell phones. Now, the other thing is, who do you think are these bicyclists? We did a demographic profile here in the Bay Area, and it seems to be a lot of white yuppies. They're the ones who are riding the bikes, and the ones who ride them at night are the dope dealers. We've seen that, too. And one of the issues, a lot of people, even cops, are saying these people, when they put their wheels on the road, they don't obey the rules of the road and should. And also, they should be licensed, and some states do license bicyclists, and they should be insured, because if they get in an accident and they don't have insurance and they go to public hospital, guess who pays? You do. And we just had a notorious case here in San Francisco where a bicyclist went through a red light, and he was creamed. Had to take him to San Francisco General, and that's, guess who pays? You do. We do. So this is something that we need to address. So tune in Monday. And we will start with our presidential anecdotes, since it's presidential season. And we may change the name to Payne's Page. Let's see if I can get away with this. Excuse me. So I want to thank you for bearing with me. And let's end with our politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the cash?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Well, we may see some if they don't get their act together. Anyway, it's Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening. This will stay up in the archives and go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas. Good night.